Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Atlanta. It's still Robin season, and this week we lost appointments, cash, electricity, hairlines, and maybe a baby. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We were feeling the Thundercat music today.
She knew exactly that she wanted to play this song.
Right away, she said, we have to start with Thundercat. Yes. I respect it. Kelly came with the song.
Good
so
choice.
Thank y'all.
Yes.
Guys, we're back. It's Atlanta, season 2, episode 5, Barbershop, which means we're talking about black hair today. If you're not here for it, now's the time. You've been fully warned because we are really going to get into it. Before we start, why don't we go around and introduce ourselves, starting with Kelly.
What's going on, everybody? It's your man, Chaos J.
Yes.
Oh, hey, everyone. It's Ivana.
What's up, everyone? I'm Steph.
To the couch.
Hey, y'all. It's Drew.
Yes, and I'm so Joelle Monique. Let's just dive right into it. I want to start with our worst hair shop stories.
Girl, we don't have enough time.
Just give me a brief 30-second synopsis of your worst hair barbershop stories.
Got you. My biracial life. My white mama decided to take me away to get my hair relaxed by a white lady. That lady left my relaxer on too long, and I had breakage for centuries, and then my mom learned to leave it to my Nigerian neighbor for the rest of my childhood.
Yes, Nigerian neighbor, come through!
Yes. Included with the Nigerian movies playing while she was braiding my hair.
Yes! Oh. All the action, terrible explosions, really good drama.
Yes,
what a culture shock.
Some of my best braids came from Nigeria.
Absolutely.
All day.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true.
Oh my God. Same thing with me. I think all black girls have kind of had like a really issue, or most of us have had a big issue with getting relaxers. Ugh. I did one too, and I had like some knots up here, and then the rest of it was down in the back. But the relaxer was in too long, the dryer was too hot,
and
my scalp itched, and I had scabs in my scalp.
Oh my God.
I was like in 6th or 7th grade.
I was so young. That's too young.
And I was so done. I didn't get a relaxer again.
Steph, share it. Hair salon nightmares.
Oh my God, that's very bad. My worst time, I literally came out looking like actual Carrot Top. Because my hair is pretty frizzy, and she bleached my hair, but then like realized that I didn't ask for bleach at all. And by the time that happened, because my hair is like black, dark brown, it turned just bright orange.
Yep.
And you can't change it for 2 weeks or else your hair breaks. So I had like a bright orange jazzercise, like 80s flow going. Like my hair frizzed up.
Yeah. These are awful. Kelly, it's a gentleman in the house. Tell us about your barbershop experiences.
Oh my goodness. I have so many, but let's talk about the worst one as of late that happened that's kind of low key similar. This was when I was rocking the little braid thing on top with the fades on the side.
So are you keeping track of all of Kelly's hairstyles?
Oh, I mean, you know, if you follow your boy, you know, I do switch it up every now and again. Anyways, so I've been rocking with this particular stylist / barber for a good few months. And we scheduled the appointment, I think it was like for 8. I show up at like 7:30, got there. She's got somebody in the chair. And I'm looking, and I'm like, she looked like she's just getting started, so I know it's going to go past. Mm. So she takes him, she finishes, and then she's like, oh, you know, then another guy comes in, and she's like, okay, well, before I cut you, when I'm looking like, wait, where'd he come from? But he had an appointment that was before mine. So then she's like, okay, well, I got to take a break real quick. So then we proceed, and she's like, well, y'all gotta come with me because I gotta lock the shop up. She's the only one there. So we proceed to go to somebody's random porch in the neighborhood because we're all from Wilshire. Somebody's random porch, so her and then some random dude just walks up, and then he just gives her a blunt and then starts smoking the blunt.
I don't want you to leave me out while you're high, ma'am. Like, yeah, this could really wait.
So they smoke out. They smoke out, and then we go back. She cuts dude's hair, this other kid who, like I said, I don't know who he is. She cuts his hair. I'm hot at this point because now it's like 11-ish. Mm. So finally, when she gets done with him, I get in the chair, I think midnight. Didn't get done. She wasn't finished with me until, I don't know, like Quarto 2. Now, you would think that the dude, like she, the second guy that she took in front of me, you would think that he just got done and then he left. Oh no, he was actually going to leave with her. So it would have made sense for her to just go ahead and take him after me. So that they, you know, she cut him and they leave together. No. I didn't get done till 2. By the time I got done, the parking lot where I parked my car, the gate had closed.
Oh, no.
Locked. Could not get in. So I'm walking around this building trying to figure out where to get in. I had to go and bang on the subway that was connected to the same building to get the guy that was in subway that was, you know, that was getting ready to take out the trash to come and let me in and open the gate from the inside. I had to get home to about 3:30.
This is a nightmare.
All was hot.
This is basically like another version of the episode.
So this was a trigger for you, the episode.
That's why you were dying.
Yeah.
Helly was dying.
It was, I mean, it was hilarious. And it's comical now. Like, I was hot then.
Yeah.
It's comical now to look back at it like, oh, it's crazy. And then the fact that I stayed and I put up with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you women know, once you get your hair, once you take your hair out, especially you have it in a certain style, you take your hair out, you have to wait. Like, I had so much, I had a wedding I was DJing that weekend. I had all this stuff going on. I'd already taken my hair out of the braids. So it was like, I can't just walk around looking crazy.
So my story, which I'm going to keep really short, was very similar. I've been going to the same stylist since I was 5. When I was 22, my best friend was getting married. So I went back and I'm like, look, I just need you to flat iron it. I don't want anything else. I had just started my natural, like, journey. So I was still doing my grow out moment. I'd done the big chop. And I was like, look, just don't put any product in my hair because I'm starting fresh with my grow out. I finally got it to a decent length. I just want it flat ironed for the wedding. She was like, dope, got you. But I tell you, I stepped in the shower to wash my hair and it was flat as anything, like sticking to my head. I was like, this, I almost said a word. I'm not going to go there. Basically, she had found a way to put some relaxer in my hair while I was getting it done. And so it was bone straight. So I had to start my grow out big chop process from the start. I was 3.5 years in.
Yeah.
Livid. I ended almost 20 year relationship that day. I was like, never again. Barbershop's gonna be the worst. And of course, Alfred learns this the hard way. Guys, do you know a biddy? Do you know somebody who's always 10 minutes away, but you won't see for 2 hours? I'm not going to lie. It's me. I'm the biddy.
I was just like, it might be
We talked about this before. I'm the biddy. I was triggered. I was like, why do you see me like this? But this everything is so else, rude. No. Nothing else
no, no,
in
no,
common.
No, no,
just
no.
that. I won't inconvenience you any more than I'm always going to be late. So I tell my friends, like, you just tell me 45 minutes ahead of your scheduled time, and I'm going to be there for you, boo. I just cannot make it happen. I don't know why.
I'm with you.
Drew will just text. I'll be like, I'm really sorry I just left. She's like, it's fine. Like, I knew it.
Like, I planned it this way.
Like, if you don't call me to verify where I am, oh yeah, I'm stringing you along the whole time. For like a good hour, I'm on my way and I ain't even left yet. King of doing it. I've even gotten to the point where somebody will call me and I'll turn everything off. And then I'll turn everything off and then be like, yeah, no, I'm in the car. And open up the patio door like, no, I'm in the car.
This is extra hotel, Kelly.
Sneaky. So I'm never going to hang out with any of y'all.
That seems fair.
No, hey girl, I'm on time always.
Okay.
An appointment there. Like, here, when I'm here, I'm here.
There's
when it's friends.
Business,
friends, it's a, I don't
respect
know what happens.
Me. Like, respect that
I'm
look
slow.
Okay?
I work with
My mom
me.
Tells me church is like 30 minutes before church is.
Thank you,
I'm
Mama.
The way I'm getting
you already know what it is.
I was triggered by Biddy because Biddy is my dad. My dad is Biddy. With the like, I can't, people be like, oh, what does your dad do? I don't know.
He do
he
stuff.
He cut hair, I guess. or he works at NYU as a janitor. You know what? I don't know. I don't know what he does. He got money. That's all I know. Allegedly. So.
Oh, wow.
Biddy
so
was triggering.
If we're the island and we can vote people out, does Biddy get to stay or is he voted out? She's like,
but we all need our hair done.
But he's resourceful and he's good at getting it.
Ivana is playing y'all because she was literally, you were more annoyed than me during that episode.
Yes, I was absolutely annoyed with B. Yes.
He was crazy. But yeah, at the end, I mean, he did do a good job with him. When he finally did cut his hair.
And we'll touch back on that because there's a whole...
It's a comfort thing. If I, like, my hairstylist I've had here in LA, I've had since I first moved out here, I refuse to go to another person.
But she's the best. We have shared the same hairstylist, so
yeah.
We know.
Well, my braid or two. She is the best.
Is that the one you gave me earlier?
Yes.
Okay. She's good.
I've had her since I first moved out here, and I just refuse because she knows how I like my braids. Mm. She knows how tight I want them. She know, like, she'll throw things in, but it's exactly what I want because she knows me. And I refuse, like, even if she has some inconveniences, and even if she does, I won't change because she kills it.
And that, my friends, is what's called loyalty.
Yeah.
Get at me.
Hey, I got it. I get it. Because I'm the exact same way with my barber. What usually happens for me is I'll get fed up to the point where I'm like, that's it. It's enough. Because I've been with this dude since I moved to California, since 2005. Wow. I've been with the same person. But I'll just get fed up. And, oh, that's enough. And then I'll start trying to find other people. I get a bunch of bad cuts. My line gets pushed all the way back. So I'm receiving, not receding. I'm receiving. And then... And then finally, I'll go back after like a month. It happens. It's like at least twice a year. Well, I usually always end up having to wait. Even when he sets appointments, I'm still like 2 or 3 hours out. So people know if I say I got to get my hair cut, they're like, oh, okay, well, Kelly's out of the pocket for at least 3 to 4 hours. And it's ridiculous. Mm. Yeah.
So a lot of the things in this episode is
just
relatable.
It's just all about time. Yeah.
Truth. That would be aggravating.
While we're talking about loyalty, can we talk about Maria Menounos' new show?
We sure can. I have a live read for everyone. You want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, we have the podcast for you, okay? Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes, okay? Don't remember that. Tune in every Friday. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Y'all, right. Maria's got those, like, you know how you end up telling your stylist or your barber everything? Like, they just have that ability to get all that out of you. I feel like that's how she is with the people she interviews. Because she be getting the tea from some of them, and I'm
she
like...
She does. Okay. The advice she sprinkles throughout is just, it warms your heart. It's stuff you want to keep. Mm-hmm. I find myself taking notes a lot when I'm listening. Check out Maria. She is awesome. She is loyal. She is not a lying ass bitch like this barber. Yeah. Really frustrated me throughout, specifically when he gets to his side piece's house. And I call her a side piece because we don't ever learn her name throughout it. I listened twice to this scene. We don't know her name. She is
At first I thought she was a baby mama, but...
It doesn't even seem like that. She didn't even have her name. A peach and some water squirts on his phone, not dignifying a name or even like a nickname. Just two emojis. That's mad disrespectful. Late theft from a lover is never acceptable.
No.
Ever. You just digging in my purse? Even if I owe you money, like, son, no. Why is she still with this man?
Because he put it down.
I refuse to believe that man. Well, probably that,
and she can get something out of him because then after that he'll cut her son's hair.
I mean, but apparently she's still paying for that, so that's not a gift.
No, well, he's resourceful.
He's trash,
but I'm just saying the reason.
He's hashtag men are trash personified for sure. Yeah. But you know,
for sure,
for sure.
Look at Kelly.
Let y'all have your moment and say what y'all gotta say. Wait. You know, it'll be my turn again.
I feel like Kelly has friends and he's not trying to rat them out right now. I feel like Kelly is like, I gotta do my man like this. Mm. Like, this is just so much shade. Mm.
That whole scene with his baby mama, maybe not. It was
side piece of son.
It really, like, she everything wasn't... kept topping it off. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. That happens. And then it kept escalating.
First of all, not only... Okay, so, like, at the top of the episode, I was recounting all of the things that he was doing to push this appointment back. And I was like, yeah, I've been stopped my hair appointment for a phone call. I stopped for a person to eat lunch. I've stopped to watch YouTube videos or random things on the internet. I have been stopped for the sales pitch of either DVDs, CDs, hair products. Never an AT&T phone, but, you know, the future is long. Other second and third phone calls, but I have never, ever had to transfer locations. Now, Kelly has had to transfer locations.
I've had to transfer locations.
Your stylist says, I need you to come with me to another location. Wait, is this? Am I the only one who's like, this is my line in the sand?
I'm not leaving the salon.
No.
Because where are you taking me?
Yeah.
No. Now see,
Kelly went.
Now see, okay,
I'm concerned.
That's smart. For me, I've had other situations where it's like, oh, I just got to run and do X, Y, Z real quick. You want to go with me? And I'm like, it's okay, I'll wait. But then I've learned that when you just let them go, then they're not. It's almost like they're. Their sense of urgency isn't as intense. Like, they don't have that sense of urgency like, oh, I got to get back because you're with them. Mm-hmm. So they feel like, oh, I can take a little bit more time. So if you go with them, it's like, oh, okay, well, I got to get back. Whereas in you know, Paperboy's situation, he had to keep reminding him. But in my situation, I'm already there. So you kind of know, I'm looking at my clock and I'm like, yo, like, I told you I got XYZ going on. I really need to get cut. Like, let's go. Yeah, I definitely feel like... You gotta have a plan B.
You also gotta be a better liar. Like, Biddy is out here being like, my engine's got jaundice. Like, sir, that's not a thing. Your engine can have.
That don't make no sense.
You are just out here straight lying.
He said he got a queef engine.
Oh my God. I wrote that down.
Yeah, I know. We were like, what?
His writing for that character was so good. Because, and his acting was so good. Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead.
And you and I, we spent so long trying to find him. Because I was telling you that he has a stand-up with Def Comedy. His name is Robert Powell. Jr. the third, like, check it out, because he's so funny, and it makes sense, you know, when you watch his stand-up that he was given the whole episode, because he was so irritating, but he was great at it. I loved it.
And you kind of low-key he's irritating, but you still kind of like him, because it sounds like he's a good dude.
He's got that smile going for him, where I'm like, are you? No.
He's like the modern day hustle man from the Fifth Flow. Like,
I don't know, man, because, like, okay, so it's a stretch to move two locations, but to a third location, when I've been promised food, like, I'm tired and I'm angry now.
Yeah.
You are not going to deny me.
I lost
you. You're not going to, like, offer me food and then deny me food.
Now,
like,
I'm angry.
But he didn't.
The age bitch is going to emerge. Like, you just can't be helped at this point.
What are you doing?
And then to go to someone else's house to help you do manual labor, come to find out that I could be, like, caught up for stealing? What?
On probation.
The real issue I have with this is if you promise me some damn Zaxby's and then I don't get it.
But he low-key did give
never
me
had Zaxby's. Come on, so I don't know.
Zaxby's.
I wish I knew. Like,
Zaxby's is the truth. And anybody who has a Zaxby's in their city can attest.
So is Zaxby's, is it mostly just, it's only a Southern thing?
I would say Zaxby's.
It's better than Popeyes. I said it.
Yeah, that scene was crazy. That reminds me, we saw a Desus and Mero episode where they were interviewing Bill Hader, and he was a production assistant, and some guy was playing him the whole time. And promised him, it was like, okay, let's go to the drive-thru. Goes to the drive-thru, buys himself food, doesn't buy Bill Hader anything, and then he's still working for him. Like, he had to continue the job. Crazy.
I can't.
The worst.
What? I understood Alfred in this moment. I was like, specifically, like, then, like, you get me caught up with, like, and the food you gave me is from a microwave. Like, I don't know how long this has been in here. I don't know. This white lady is screaming at me. That doesn't usually end up well for me.
Okay.
Like, this is a hot mess. Was there a way Alfred could have bowed out of this and kept his relationship with his barber?
The thing with Alfred is Alfred's passive aggressive, but then throws like temper tantrums, so he's waiting for you to like just get around to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we've seen
he lets things build up.
Yeah,
and that's also his fault.
He could have rung him in like he did at the end, and would have had his haircut.
Because that's my question. Yes, my question. Like, after all he'd been through, like, he was just gonna walk out, which is something I would have done. You and I were like, we would have just walked out. So, do you think he should have paid? And would y'all have paid? After everything, would you have paid after everything you went through?
Oh, no, you owe me his haircut.
I'm not gonna lie.
Now, I would have tipped you. Here's the difference. I give you 20% of what that haircut was worth. Because I know, like, at the end of the day, you're late. I worked for a hairstylist for 2.5 years. Guys, tip your stylist. True. Your haircuts will dramatically improve. They will not put in extra effort for no extra money. They're human beings. Mm-hmm. When you tip your stylist and you tip them well, they remember you for a long... It doesn't matter if you see them once a year, to every other, like, 4 years. It doesn't matter. They'll remember you. I would definitely tip him, but I'm not paying for that haircut.
Yeah.
And see, and that's the thing, because... I wouldn't front and be like, yo, I wouldn't have paid for it either.
Would you pay, yes or no?
I would have paid.
You wouldn't have paid?
He would have made, I would have felt at
your the, face even when you though, said that.
Even what, though, even
both
though,
of you together.
After going through all of that, I would have been so hot, I probably still would have paid, but I would have did it just like Paperboy did, where he threw it. I would have threw it. And then I would have did exactly everything that Paperboy did at the end is exactly how I would have played it all the way to when he's about to take that L when he sits in that new barbershop's chair or barber's chair.
You by yourself, sweetheart, because people in the chat are like, exactly. I already paid. One person said they would.
But no, exactly.
One, but everybody else is like,
blah, blah. I'm just keeping it real.
Are you saying that because you're loyal to your barber or is this just specific to your barber you would do this for? Because...
You know what? It's probably if it was a newer barber and we didn't have that history in the paint, probably. But I have a heart, so at the end of the day, like I will feel some kind of way. If granted, I know my barber's he's comfortable. Bibby don't look like Bibby was comfortable. Bibby is hustling for every dime he gets. So for me in that situation, I would have paid. But I would have threw him on the floor. I'd have been mad, disrespectful, like, take your money. But I would still gave him his money.
Okay, I understand. I was just want to
start.
I think I understand, like, being in Los Angeles, like, it's hard for black folks to find a good stylist that we like vibe with. But in Atlanta, there's no excuse. In Atlanta, you can go literally next door and probably find a better barber.
Agreed. Now I will, to Kelly's point of like, I see the full spectrum of who Biddy is. On our third stop, which son, no, we meet his blood son Lamar, or at least a kid that he's taking care of, that calls him dad, he has a relationship with him. Lord. And he comes at him exactly like my father would come at me if he found out I was skipping school. He'd be like, for real? Did you at least do the things I asked you today?
Yeah.
No? Get in the car. I'm calling your mom right now. Mm. Then don't call mom. She's going to be disappointed. I can't take that. This is exactly what we're going to do. And even though it's still lion-ass Biddy, you know, even though he's still talking mad crazy stuff, like, there was a third dimension there. This idea of, like, I'm working hard. I'm hustling so you can have better. Like, I can't believe you're doing this. It wasn't something I expected to see of him. Mm. Would it change my mind about paying him?
But it was ironic because of how he played it's not good work.
It wasn't good work.
Yeah.
No. No change. Okay,
no,
we're agreed.
Because your son roasted me.
Also,
your son came from my neck. No. Right.
What they said in the chat, girl? Because
So
the only way to cheat on your barber is to leave the shop completely, which is what I did 2 days ago. And waves are spinning and fades are fresh on the mud.
Said you can find another one.
But they, like he said, too, cheating on your barber is a mega no-no for a lot of different reasons. One being, when you go back, they're going to, if you're at the right barbershop, they're going to clown you. Every time I've gotten mad and I've gone away for like a month or two, when I come back, I get clowned.
Of course you do.
Hard.
It's such a man thing.
And then they're like, okay, well, I almost feel like they use it as a disguise, but they'll say like, well, you know, I mean, I don't know what he did, so, I mean, I'm going to fix it, but, I mean, it's going to look like XYZ for a little bit until your hair grows back. So then they cut you up, and they fix it, but you still look real low-key crazy, and it's like, but, you know, in a couple weeks...
Come back.
Whatever. And the way they do it is so that, like, you feel bad, one, for going somewhere else, and two, is like, low-key, well, if you wouldn't have left... You wouldn't look like you do right now, so.
But that's why you leave and you don't come back. Somebody else just said that.
Say, blah, like,
but you know what? I'm gonna say this, and I know that there's other barbers that are just as good as my barber. Shout out to Dave Platinum Cuts.
Oh.
But.
Come on, promo.
Every time I go somewhere else, the cuts is just not as crispy. It's like
oh
that.
Oh my!
I can't help it. Like, the cuts are not as fresh. So I'm just like, oh, God.
They're going to put you on a commercial playing outside the store.
I got to go back.
I feel like barbers, though, especially in the Black community, it's not just about the cut. It's an experience. I mean, obviously, this was a good experience. But for the most part, my girl knows literally everything about my life. Like, details that, like, she'll know before my best friend knows. Because, like, there's just something about sitting down, having someone do your hair, and you just start talking.
Someone was posting Yelp reviews from Washington, D.C. of barbershops. And it was hilarious because a whole bunch of dudes were complaining. They were like, nah, man, the conversation was terrible. Nobody knew what the brackets were for the new, like, bullshit. Yeah. Like, and it was interesting to me because I knew, like, as women that stuff was important to us. Like, is the atmosphere okay? Like, do I feel comfortable here? Do I trust my stylist with my life secrets and with my hair? That's a lot of trust to place in a single person. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that guys needed it, too. And it's kind of cool to see potentially the lengths someone might go to, like getting clowned by a teenager, which is brutal. I'm sure everyone's experienced this. You're just like, damn, child, how do you read me like this? This is rude.
This is rude.
But car crash is for sure got to be the line, though. Like, I know I keep saying this is my line, but, like, now we are in, like, a car crash. Also, was that woman pregnant?
I thought she was just stretching.
I think she was just stretching. She was just holding her back and just, like, milking that
she
moment.
She was doing so much extra.
I'm like, her girl, scream was like a baby girl.
You know what it sounded like? It's not. Did you ever see the YouTube video that was big for a minute where it's, like, the longest cry ever? And it was from Intervention.
And, like, that man is like,
I thought you were talking about the Taylor Swift goat video. That YouTube sounded like that.
YouTube gems.
I forgot the son was in the car.
Yes.
I was like,
he was right there in the backseat. I don't even think he was buckled either. He was just like,
that's why he's not listening.
When you sit
to
in the
dad.
Back of a truck like that, there's no such thing as wearing seatbelt.
You don't buckle.
You don't
facts.
Buckle.
You just accept your fate. Yeah. And you go.
Or you just hold a little bar up there above the window. Oh my. That's it.
So the touchback on what you said. Was the accident the line? And for me, until he pulled off, that would have been the line. Because like I said, yo, I got weed on me.
But and the fact that he probation. Did pull off brings you right back in?
It brought me back in. Because at the end of...
Kelly,
Wait.
Do you see all of our faces right now?
Hold like,
so I'm not saying, hold with my eyes.
Pause. Time out. I'm not saying that it brought me back in. Like, nah, baby's cool. I'm going to go ahead and get that fade. No, in the back of my mind, I still want the fade, but no, I'm trying to think of, hold on, because in that situation, you got to think smart. Okay, you just hit someone from the back. I didn't mean to pause on that, but no, you just like you just low-key got in a hit and run. You just got into a car accident and Bibby got warrants. The son can't drive. You got weed on you and you on probation. It's just a whole bad situation. So you go back in because you want to get out of there. So as soon as Bibby's like, oh, I'm pulling off, you go back in because do you want to be on foot when the cops come? No, you don't. You don't want to be on foot. You don't want to be anywhere in the vicinity of that situation.
It takes 2 seconds for someone to take a photo of that license plate or you in the vehicle, and now you've added felony charges to your car crash hit and run.
But
luckily nobody else was around.
The driver.
But
you're an accomplice.
He was just coming
the police
from the house
will find you just as fast. You have stolen stuff in the back of your car and priors and you're eating and abetting. Like yours, they just keep stacking up.
Yeah.
Now, if you get away with it forever, maybe. But
why, though, does Al have weed in his pockets when he's on probation?
Because he just does.
He smokes. I know. Okay, I know.
And
but
he sells.
Like,
we know.
But he is. Okay, we said it. Al and Earn are screwing up their lives.
Yes.
Like, royal.
Yes.
These two episodes have showed that they need each other.
Yes.
We need them back together.
Yeah. They just keep adding on to it. They're just...
Alone, it's bad.
Because I know you said, like, Earn was irritating you, and Al is irritating me, but one thing they have in common is that they don't speak up. They just allow things to pile on and get worse. And then they spaz out because they can't control it anymore. It's like... Had you had said
men.
Something in the beginning?
Hashtag men.
Bet they're Pisces.
I feel like this is me too, so let's move on. I'm uncomfortable.
Am I triggering you?
A little bit.
Okay.
Joelle's an absolute angel. Let's just be clear.
Okay, so just to be clear, Everybody here except for myself would have got out and went and did something else.
I wouldn't have left the shop.
Same.
After hit and run, here's what you do. You ditch that weed. There's no weed that expensive.
I would have left the weed in the car and then...
I was thinking he was just going to throw it in the bushes or something.
You're next to a huge field. Let that shit blow in the wind. Throw the bag up. You don't know whose that is or what it is. I'm sorry for littering, guys, but this is what you do. And then you wait for the police to come and you say, I was in the passenger seat. He drove away. I could not stop him, but I'm here helping this lady now. I called 911. What do we do from here, Mr. Officer? And you get your ass out of there. There's nothing they can do if you stay with, like, I wasn't behind the wheel. I told them to stop, but I could not stop the vehicle. I stayed and I called with her. But I've done everything legally that I am supposed to do, and having been in similar situations, the cops will let you go. They will be
ladies and gentlemen,
here
take
is your
notes.
Statement. Can you just sign it and then you move on with your life? Like, it's much, much better than constantly, like, every time a cop's behind you, like, please don't know this is my license plate. I don't want to deal with this, Jesus. Like, that's not fun for anybody.
You think they would have let Al go though?
Yeah, absolutely, because he wasn't behind the vehicle, and they're starting to look for ways to test for weed. But again, he wasn't driving. You know, it's in Atlanta, so it's still illegal. Yeah. Unless they wanted to test him for something, you know, he should be okay.
Unless they were just, like, out to just screw up someone's day or...
Yeah, and most of these places outside of, like, California and Colorado and maybe Washington don't have ways of testing immediately for how much THC you have in your system. So you'd probably be fine. Unless your PO is like, hey, I saw you were in a crash, you need to come in. but there shouldn't really be a record as long as you make a statement and you're out of there. All bad shit, but again, I understand it because the hair is that important. Like, I get how it's hard to find somebody who knows what they're doing, who you can stand to be in the fit. But I don't know how much longer I could understand. Like, Biddy, until I saw the haircut, and I was like, damn, Biddy, you did such a good job with it.
Of course it's great.
But it was a good cut overall.
And of course, Bibby gives him exactly what he wants. Mm-hmm. Of course.
He did. But what was hilarious, too, to jump back to the beginning, is he probably says, so what are we doing now? All right, so what are we doing today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what are we doing today? He probably asked him about 50, 11 times.
That made me nervous. I thought he, like, forgot.
I thought he was going to mess up. Yeah. Because he just was so distracted. Mm.
Mm. Can we talk, too, about his whole, like, going to jail thing as they're walking back into the shop? He's like, I can't go to jail. What is my male hymen? Is that what
you said? My boy hymen.
Oh, my boy hymen. What? I missed that.
These are strong lines.
He said, they gonna make me somebody, I'm too small. They're going to make me somebody's girlfriend.
I cannot, sir. I cannot.
The writing in this episode was, like, really on point for me. I just feel like the whole fact that he made an entire episode off basically one premise was only Donald Glover could do that.
Yeah. It's true. So my question is, was the haircut worth everything he went through?
Well, Corey says he put in too much time. He could not give up now. And I'm with you on that.
Okay, Corey. That's a good point.
I also think, despite however we feel about the cut or whatever, that's probably exactly how he wants it because he's been with this barber so long that every little detail, he doesn't have to be like, actually, can you fix this? He doesn't have to do any of that. Yeah. So it's just like the satisfaction of not having to tell you how I want my hair and it being done.
My other question is, as a budding celebrity... should Alfred get better respect from his barber than this?
Yes.
I can bring you money and new people. I can shout you out on a record. Like, you have no idea how far my leverage could go. For you to be treating me like this is ridiculous. Yeah. I am not nobody.
At this point, he can find a barber that can meet him at his house.
Right? My dad is not even on like that, but his barber meets him at his house. Like, you have options.
Yes. But I think that he even tells the kid, like, I'm regular. I don't think he sees himself... Should he get that respect? Yes, but I think he robs himself.
Oh, snap!
Of, like, the luxuries of all of his hard work. And, like, same with, like, I mean, we see Earn do it all the time. Like, Earn robs himself of all these perfectly good opportunities. So
do you guys skip on the barber loyalty then? Because after this, we see him stroll right. He hit a straight gangster lean when he sat in that chair. He said, done with you.
But then he felt the stress, like what Drew was saying, about not like having to tell someone what you need again. And like,
I don't feel bad for him on that point because Google is real. Like, just go Google what it's called and tell him what it is that you want. Or show another picture. This is what I had 2 weeks ago.
I also,
give me this.
It was kind of weird to me because I also know, like, my brothers and stuff, like, they know their numbers out the get-go.
And I feel like that's regional is what I'm looking for, but I feel like that's a regional thing because until I got to Cali, I wasn't really too familiar with the numbers. And when
what?
Wait, peep game. And then when I did hear, like, when I did start to get hip to the number thing, it was really when I would be, like, in the barbershop where the, you know, where other military members like myself, because I'm a veteran, shout out, would get their hair cut like the white guys. They would come in and they'd be like, oh, yeah, give me a number two on sides and the number blah, blah, blah. And that's the very, very first time I heard numbers. And then I came to Cali and I heard it again. And I was like, oh, okay. But I never, it was just, like, fade. Taper,
yeah.
You know, ball fade, low fade, shadow fade. Like, there were just different variations of words.
I mean,
was never numbers. So if I sat down and the barber's like, yes, would you get number two, number three? I would react the exact same way, like, and I'm like, shit, like, it's about to be all bad. Kind of like when I used to, when I was younger, go to random barbershops on my way home from school, and they'll start combing my hair back and cutting with scissors. Mm. It's a wrap, because you never cut a black man's hair combing it back and cutting with scissors.
Nope.
Ever.
I don't know.
I'm saying, Chicago, every man I know knows his number. He's like,
say,
here, let's go.
I'm from Louisville, but went to school in Atlanta, too. And I feel like my boyfriend knew his numbers, my brothers knew their numbers, my daddy knew the numbers. Maybe, I don't know.
It could be regional.
What,
I don't know.
What kind of texture is their hair?
They're all black men, like... dark skin.
Okay. See, and you know what? And like I said, I think it's a regional thing because I was not up on numbers for the longest time. And I'm still low-key not up on numbers. So if you ask me numbers, it's a wrap. I might as well just get up because it's not going to happen. Unless, like, I got a picture like this.
That's not the because, like, I'm from Texas and, like, the barbershops and hair salons that I've been into, they have the posters with the numbers on there, but people just say, just give me the thing. Some people in Texas say it too. Like, I just say the words.
Well,
this is what I want.
Numbers are the guards on, like, the razor.
Yeah. Not familiar. They just would just say the words. They didn't really do that. But that's interesting.
It's like a combo of the two. Like, I want, you know, a fade, but I want, like, a two on the, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll have to see next week if it was worth the switch up. Dude didn't talk to me long enough to start putting anywhere near cutting my hair. I was always like, what do you want? Here, Greg. I'm like, oh no, you don't understand how this is going to work. I have to ask a lot of questions about what you plan to do. We need to look at some photos. This takes forever to grow. We're going to do it right. Let's get into some news. We have lots of news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
First up, Brian Tyree Henry. I'm going to get this. Brian Tyree Henry.
Yes.
I got it. Who is Alfred / Paperboy. He's doing a play. It's called Lobby Heroes. It's in New York. It's getting rave views. Michael Cera is also in it. Captain America is in it. Brian's, like, people are loving him, and now people are talking about potentially an Emmy Award for his work in Atlanta. A lot of actors, after they're doing plays, their show comes out, they go do plays, people start thinking of them more seriously as an actor.
Yeah.
Tyree Henry was, of course, up for Emmy for Best Guest Actor for This Is Us last year. He did not win, but that doesn't mean he couldn't come back. This is a Yale graduate. That's where Meryl Streep went to school.
He's very classically trained. Like, he is trained.
Fun fact, I saw an interview that he did, and he said that he auditioned for Yale's, like, theater department by singing Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee from Grease.
No way.
Because he had previously watched the movie
Get
the
me
night
an
before.
Audition tape of
that. I know.
I don't even know the song, but it sounds cool.
It's probably the whitest, blondest, girly song ever.
Okay.
Other than Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Like,
it's there.
Yeah, it's so good. So shout out to him. I'm hoping we see it. They're doing a lot of, like, plays to theaters for people to watch. You know, Chris Evans is in it, so that's very much a possibility for us potentially. Keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully this leads to some great awards for him. In other news, our creator, our fearless leader, the wonderful human being, Donald Glover.
Yes.
Suffered a small tragedy earlier this week when his FX show Deadpool, an animated version of the comic book hero, was canceled by FX mid-production. A lot of rumors started to swirl as to whether he did not have time because he's involved in a lot of projects. He's going to be Lando in the new Solo movie. He's, of course, got his own series, Atlanta. He's making a new album. To stop these rumors, he said, oh, I have the time, and here are 15 pages of what could have been the best Deadpool script of all freaking time. If you guys haven't read this, it's
clearly knew. A lot of people said, oh, this has got to be an episode that he wrote a long time ago. That's quite literally impossible because he talks about Beyonce getting bit in the face by an actress. He talks about
other current events.
And a lot of the subtext in there is about being canceled. This is something off the top of the dome. This is something that was fresh, but it struck the tone and style of Deadpool. Did you guys get a chance to read the script, and what did you think of it?
Pieces of it.
I read it. I love it. I think he subtly kind of tells us what happened, but in a way that's like, oh, that's just Deadpool. You know, that's just Deadpool being funny. And then he just makes a lot of comments that I feel like all black people think. Like, the thing about Beyonce getting bit in the face, he's like, actually, I heard it was Jennifer Lawrence. I already hate her anyway.
I'm not even going to lie. I immediately thought of Jennifer Lawrence when they were like, so I get Beyonce in the face. I'm like, Jennifer, what are you doing?
That's bad because I thought the same thing. And I started Googling, looking for that particular story. Then I saw Sarah Foster's name, and then I saw Sanaa Lathan. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. I was waiting.
It's just nobody black, that's for sure.
Exactly.
That's what I said. I could not imagine anything but a black person. I was like,
I don't do no shit like that.
The queen.
It was Jennifer Lawrence or Lena Dunham, because they some weird lady.
Oh, I actually thought about Lena Dunham, because that's like, she's out of pocket.
I couldn't picture Lena Dunham at a Beyonce party. Like, I couldn't imagine them sharing the same airspace.
I don't even think she would even get invited.
I know they've been at the Met Gala Ball from time to time, but I'm not sure if they were in the same wing of the ball at the same time. I feel like Beyonce's people would be like, and we're moving. Get out of the way. Anybody else? Thoughts on the script?
Yes, real quick. I think it's Zayas. I hope I said it right. He said Gambino basically wanted his version of Deadpool, but I think they wanted it like the movie or like the PG version now. I want to speak to that. Because when I read it...
First of all, it was definitely an R-rated film.
Okay. When I read it, and I heard Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And so because to me, Ryan Reynolds embodies Deadpool. He's always been Deadpool to me, even when he was in that whack first Wolverine movie. I said that. So when I read it, that's the voice that I heard, but I knew who was behind the words. And I don't know. I feel like they took an L on this one. And I think that the underlying message was, you know, everybody says they want something new, but they don't want to do anything different to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at the end of the day, had they stuck with it and let him and his brother take this at the helm, they would have had another hit on their hands. Because we all know, I feel like there was a lot of people in the boardroom that probably did not think that Atlanta would be as successful as it is.
Of course.
Totally. And it's exceeded everyone's expectations. And I felt like once I knew that they were behind a possible animated Deadpool, I was like, oh, this is going to be bananas. Because Archer is fire. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's, you know, not the same writers, but Archer is fire. Also, real quick, I just want to give a shout out. I'm sorry, Drew. I'm sorry. Stephanie Robinson is the one that wrote this episode. So props to her. She's new to the Atlanta team, and she did her thing with this episode. So I just had to get that out there. I'm sorry.
What was Drew saying?
You did.
Are you going to say something?
I have another comment about the writers.
I'll say something whenever y'all are done.
No, let Drew, because you was ready to go.
It's getting wild in here.
I was just going to say, somebody in the chat said FX apparently canceled it because it was too offensive. And I think it's interesting what FX considers offensive, because they have American Horror Story on there, which has had some
That's
real...
That's why the shows go to FX.
Had some real wild stuff. And it's interesting that a show that's based on a white superhero written... And the show is going to be written by all black writers. It's interesting how the line of, like, what's offensive and what's not offensive magically is drawn. But whenever white writers are writing about black experience, even if it's fictional, we can't get mad.
Well, let's look at Archer. Archer can be considered offensive.
Who watches Archer?
I watch Archer. Okay. Soup's good.
It's good, but it's low-key. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there that can
all
be...
All the adult animated series are really, really...
They're edgy.
Really, yeah, and I love it, but they're needed to be. But piggybacking off Drew's comment, I think it's, like, really true that Hollywood in general, like, so to speak, where we're producing films and shows is so scared. But shows like Atlanta are so much better than all the other BS put out here because it is real, written by real people representing themselves. And I think especially with Black Hollywood and Black creatives, they try to... box them in, and it's like, you just don't want to hear what we have to say, but this is what people want to hear.
Or you're terrified of the reaction because you don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah.
And so we put a nice box around it. It doesn't make any sense to me that they're like, oh, the show's too offensive. First of all, if you've read a Deadpool comic, like, it's just meant to be offensive. Like, yeah. It started in 1991. This is the height of, like, overly muscular superheroes, like, blood. This is the era of Spawn. This is the era of New Age Wolverine. Like, we're talking, like, beefed out, like, dirty jokes, boobs, latex costumes. Like, that is where Deadpool comes from. Yeah. So this isn't something new or surprising. On top of that, like, if you've been reading the Duke and Lolly series from, like, 2015, 2017, I think, like, Glover matches the tone of those comic books to perfection, including, and even to his, even in the script that he knew was not going to be produced for readers. He has an aside in there where Deadpool's like, when people, I'm talking to people watching this, this would have been him breaking the fourth wall on the TV show. Correction, reading this, because we're not going to make it to air. Like, those kind of troll jokes, like, that level of understanding of the character, that control and mastery of the voice, like, this show could have been and could still be amazing. We don't, FX could turn it around. They could go back and be like, we're so sorry. Now, Fox, the production company, owns Deadpool.
Okay.
So they own, they released the Deadpool movie in partnership with Marvel. Yeah. And this is what a lot of comic book fans have been very excited about, because Fox, let's just be real about it, Fox was not handling their properties for Marvel very well. Our X-Men movies were like, mediocre, pretty good first class, total tank for the last two. And then when Marvel joined them to do this, to do the Spider-Man series coming up, like, they re-energized and reinvigorated what Fox was able to do. However, I believe Marvel also owns stake in this, don't quote me on that. But if they do, like, AMC is right there, really, really desperate for good content. The Walking Dead is still one of the highest rated shows, but it lost about 10 million viewers in the last 2 to 3 seasons. They could really use a boost. I would not mind going to a different channel to watch this. AMC has a lot of the same rules about swearing and cursing and nudity that we can get around, move around, see things. I would just really, really like this series to make it. If it doesn't make it, I hope Marvel hires Donald to write the comic book. It is that good. It is seriously good Deadpool material.
Great idea.
So we'll have to see what happens with that property in the future. We are running very short on time. So before we go, let's do predictions really quick.
Okay.
I don't know.
We're just going to do predictions.
Jump into it. There it is.
And now.
We'll be sitting here like.
That's okay. First question, is Alfred's hairline okay when we return next week?
Was it ever okay in the first
place? Whoa, spicy! Spicy!
Bang, bang, bang!
Boom, boom, boom!
Just kidding, I love you.
No, he's gonna, the cut, I don't think the cut's gonna be crazy bad, but it's not gonna be what he wants. Mm. It's gonna low-key look a little off. For Paperboy. But it's going to be one of those where it's like, oh man, it ain't that bad. Mm. And you kind of like, that's
pretty good. But the way the season's going, like, I don't know if we'll even see Al next episode. Like,
that's also true.
I was saying that, like, way more. They never keep it super, like, serial type.
It's true.
But this season is way more standalone than last season. So I feel like, I don't know what's going to happen, because it seems to be, like, individualized type of episodes.
See, I don't know. I feel like there's still some linearness to this.
There definitely is.
That look that you just gave me means I'm going to shut up. Okay.
No. I was going to say, I think his haircut's going to be okay, but I saw, like, a preview of it, and I think we're going to be talking about Darius next
week. Yes!
Whose haircut was fresh, by the way?
His haircut was fresh, so that might be Darius told him to go to the other barber or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to see, but I know Darius is going to be, I'm pretty sure he's going to be hilarious. I feel like that's going to be definitely the turning point for season 2 is when we see him.
Definitely. We are out of time. So until next week, starting with Kelly, tell the folks where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, ChaosJ, KAAOSJ. You can also find me on Instagram, Chaos_Oceans31, because I'm bringing you 31 flavors of waviness. Holla.
Oh, wow. I'm Ivana Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams.
I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Go check out Movie Talk. We did the Disney bracket. That's been circulating Twitter and the other social medias. It was really, really hard, but a lot of fun.
And my name is Drew Jones. You can follow me at all the things at OK Drew J.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.